Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is 10 past 11. It's Tuesday morning, and as you know, on Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International, we have tech news on a Tuesday. Science and technology is what we focus on a Tuesday morning, learning different things about the world that we live in and trying to find what will benefit us and differentiate that from what will definitely be of harm or of negative consequences for us, because we know that all innovations, all inventions are not good. There are some that would benefit us in a certain way, and there are some that would definitely be of harm, either morally or socially or in our health or in our future as well. So we are going to look at tech news in the first half an hour of the program. And as you know, the newly added segment in our tech section is the timeline of science and technology in the Islamic world. And today we go, last week we went into the 7th century, in actual fact 650 CE, and we spoke about Khalid ibn Yazid, who was an Umayyad prince, and he translated the literature of Egyptian alchemy into the Arabic language, and we spoke about how chemistry, modern day chemistry and lab experiments, etc., was in actual fact an innovation of Muslim scientists. Now, today we go into the 8th century, and that is the early 700s sees the use of glazed ceramics. Now, this is in the art world. This was prevalent in Islamic art, and how Muslims didn't actually invent this, but they were very much involved in enhancing and further beautifying this form of art, which is definitely something of beauty and something that is much coveted in today's time. So we'll be taking a look at that, inshallah, towards the latter part of this half an hour. And then at 11:30, we'll be joined on the line by Maulana Yahya Bam, inshallah. We'll be taking a look at different issues with regards to tarbiyah, with regards to bettering ourselves and improving ourselves, inshallah. So this is the basic breakdown of our program this morning. Inshallah, we'll take a bit of a nasheed break right now and then come back with our discussion on science and technology in the first part of our program. The age-old discussion is, what effect does video games have on violence in children? That is an age-old discussion. I think since the first video games ever came out, that has been researched and brought back and researched and brought back, and it just carries on and on and on, and there seems like there's no end to this one discussion. So now, a latest article that's out actually yesterday on wired.co.uk says violent games have weak impact on kids' behavior. Say the research from a group of UK-based academics looked at 1,800 children involved in long-term Avon longitudinal study of parents and children. Children who were born around 1991 and 1992 completed a survey when they were 8 or 9 and were then quizzed when they were 15. The questions focused on the genre of games they played by the children and fed back into working out both the risk for depression and the risk for conduct disorder, which relates to their behavior. The academics found that there was weak evidence to show that those playing the violent games would misbehave. There was also no evidence of a link between violent games and depression in adolescents. Our results indicate that playing video games that are more likely to include violent content in childhood is weakly associated with an increased risk of conduct disorder in later adolescence, the research paper concluded. So there's lots of research going this way and that way. But the reality is that this research has been carried over a number of years. But if you take a look at the immediate effect of violent video games, you would find that it definitely has an effect. And I've seen it with my own eyes, that kids, first, when they just play those violent video games, they immediately want to enact what they have been doing. that alternate reality is not good enough for them. They want to, in actual fact, do exactly what is being done or what they have done in those video games, and then they start becoming violent. That's a truth and reality that I've seen myself, whether it's a video game or a movie or WWE on television, the wrestling show, whatever else it may be, they want to enact exactly what they have seen. And that is a reality. We should be very careful about that and make sure that our children are not exposed to things that are going to alter their behavior. That's very important. Behavior altering media. And that's the purpose of media, to alter behavior. Basically, that is it. And we need to be very careful about that. Second story that we're looking at is London could get a team of drone hunting eagles. Now, I've been seeing this in the news from last week that they are training eagles to take down drones, and they are afraid that drones can be used in terror attacks to deliver bombs and have weapons that can, like a gun on a drone, etc. And so they are very worried about drones, and so they want to get the eagles now to go back and attack those drones and to take down whatever drones that you can see or that they deem is actually a threat to you. So that's an interesting thing, going back to nature to take down the technology that you created in order to bypass nature. Very interesting. Well, going through the third story, tech story, is that global bee pandemic is man-made. Now, a deadly disease that's wiping out both domesticated honeybees and wild hives is being spread by the human practice of moving honeybee colonies around the world. University of Exeter, Sheffield and Salford scientists have found. The team studying deformed wing virus, DWV, carried out genetic analysis of bees and the parasitic varroa mite from 32 locations in 17 countries and found that the mite not only feeds on the bee's larva, causing direct harm, but also injects the deadly wing or deformed wing virus into the bodies of adult bees. Lead researcher Dr. Lena Bayer-Wilford said that we must now maintain strict limits on the movement of bees, whether they are known to carry varroa or not. So there's a big problem with bee populations dying out, and I know one of great intellectuals of his time, I can't remember the name, said if you find bees dying out, if you find bees dead, then no, that's the end of the human race. So we need to protect our bee population as much as we can. And then we have, here's an interesting one. Ancient wildebeest had a built-in vuvuzela. Archaeologists working with fossil remains of the Ice Age wildebeest called Rusingorix atopocrinian, that's the scientific name, have discovered that its domed nasal cavity would have acted as a sound resonator, allowing it to trumpet in a way similar to some hollow-crested dinosaurs. So that's interesting there. And then another problem that is coming on because of technology and internet again is rapes tied to online dating on the rise. Now, attackers put victims at ease by establishing a relationship online before meeting, according to a new report from the UK. So what's happening is that they become friends on Twitter, or Facebook, whatever other social media apps that they may have, become friends, they win over their confidence, and then they say, okay, let's meet up. And now this person online thinks that, okay, this is a nice, good man that I can meet up with and that I can speak to and perhaps strike up a relationship with, and then they go and meet, and then it ends up in a rape, unfortunately. And there are so many victims, and it's a result of online dating. Online dating is rising, and so these rapes are also rising in number. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children. It's absolutely imperative that we are careful, and we need to be very, very careful about how our children behave online, what time they spend on the internet, what they do on the internet, who they are interacting with on the internet, and that's very, very important. You need to know what your child's activities are on the internet, and if you are not aware of that, then you can possibly lose your child from within your own home. From within your own home, you can lose your child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of our children and offspring. A meteorite striking a person and killing him. Now this is a question that is being asked in India. An Indian bus driver has become the first man in recorded history to be killed after he was struck by a meteorite. The space rock crashed near an engineering college in Vellore in Tamil Nadu state, where the 40-year-old man was standing. That's according to local minister Jayaram, was awarded 100,000 rupees in compensation to his family. A meteorite fell within the college premises. The man sustained serious injuries and died while on the way to the hospital. He said the bus driver was standing on a patch of grass near the college cafeteria when he was killed, while two gardeners and a student were injured. A dark blue stone resembling a diamond was found at the scene. Government officials at first suspected the blast was caused by explosives accidentally left after building work. However, investigations found no evidence of explosive material at the site, and said it's not confirmed, yet the samples need to be analyzed. But there's a big problem. Yeah, this man died, and they think that maybe it's a meteorite. Another unlucky mouse, now the unluckiest mouse in the world. This mouse was found in a 155-year-old mouse trap that was in a museum. So this mouse was found in a Victorian trap that was on display behind glass. Now, the unlucky rodent has managed to sneak past security, exterior doors and museum staff, and somehow clambered its way up into the cabinet and into the mouse. And so it went into a 155-year-old mouse trap and got caught there. So this is an unlucky mouse that found itself there. Now coming on to the segment of timeline of science and technology in the Islamic world, we're going on to the 8th century, the early 700s. So the use of glazed ceramics became prevalent in Islamic art, and usually assuming the form of elaborate pottery. The first Islamic opaque glazes can be found as blue painted ware in Basra, dating to around the 8th century. Now we look at Islamic art and pottery. From the 8th to the 18th centuries, the use of ceramics was prevalent in Islamic art, usually assuming the form of elaborate pottery. Tin opacified glazing was one of the earliest new technologies developed by the Islamic potters. The first Islamic opaque glazes can be found as blue painted ware in Basra, dating to around the 8th century. Another significant contribution was the development of stone-paste ceramics, originating from 9th century Iraq. The first industrial complex for glass and pottery production was built in Ar-Raqqa in Syria in the 8th century. Ar-Raqqa is one of those names that we are hearing constantly in the bombing and in the war in Syria. Other centers for innovative ceramic pottery in the Islamic world included Fustat from 975 to 1075, Damascus from 1100 to around 1600, and Tabriz from 1470 to 1550. Lustreware was invented in Iraq by the Persian chemist Jaber bin Hayyan in the 8th century during the Abbasid Caliphate. Another innovation was the Alberello, a type of Mayolica earthenware jar, originally designed to hold ointments and dry drugs. The development of this type of pharmacy jar had its roots in the Islamic Middle East. Brought to Italy by Hispano-Morisc traders, the earliest Italian examples were produced in Florence in the 15th century. This style emerged in Andalusia, that's Spain, in the 8th century under the Fatimids. This was a style of Islamic pottery created in Islamic Spain after the Moors had introduced two ceramics techniques to Europe. Ceramics with an opaque white tin glaze and painting in metallic lusters. Hispano-Morisc's ware was distinguished from the pottery of Christendom by the Islamic character of its decoration. So that was Islamic art and the ceramics that they used. And it was Islamic pottery was influenced by Chinese ceramics. This was especially the case in the period after the Mongol invasions and those of the Timurids. Techniques, shapes, and decorative motifs were all affected. till the early modern period, Western ceramics had very little influence, but Islamic pottery was very sought after in Europe and often copied. An example of this is the Alberello. And then you find these different types of Islamic dishes and all of that. Very, very beautiful, beautiful pottery and dishes and tiling, etc. And you can see the beauty of the tiles in the different mosques around the world. You can just look at the Dome of the Rock, for one example, that is very famous, and other masjids around the world as well. And that's the beauty of Islamic art. It's 29 minutes after 11. You're listening to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. We will be back just after this break. We're going to be speaking to Hazrat Mawlana Yahya Bam. Stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's 28 minutes to 12, and my name is Junaid Jassad. My guest for this second half hour is Hazrat Mawlana Yahya Bam Sahib. Mawlana Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mawlana, how are we?
Very well, alhamdulillah. Shukr, Mawlana. How are you keeping this morning?
Shukr, Khudai Pak, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, shukr.
Quite busy trying to put together a real bumper package, Mawlana. I know we cannot advertise here, but you know, I like that with Khidmatul Awam, and we're putting a package together for the Umrah, a real, real down, and the 15999, as cheap as that, that's airfare and all that. So I'm busy with that, but we can't advertise here, so I'm just telling you what I was busy with. On the other side, for this weekend, inshallah, we're going to be at Sabri Masjid, and polygamy is the topic that we're going to talk about, and that is what I want to talk about today, Mawlana.
Yes, I saw that WhatsApp message going about. Any response on that, Mawlana?
Yeah, there are people that are phoning and wanting to make bookings for wanting to, but there is no booking necessary. Whoever is going to come, let them be there, it'll be good. We've got Dr. Soli there, inshallah, and we want to talk about this matter, Mawlana, which is, you know, something that you need to apply your mind and speak about very cautiously and carefully, because if somebody misinterprets what we are saying, then there can be a lot of animosity amongst people because of the wrong coming about after that. Like on the one side, clearly with regards to polygamy, and if any lady, any woman, any person, even if it's a man, has to come up and say that, see, I don't believe in this polygamy and it is wrong and finish, I don't want to hear much about it, there we will caution them that be careful, you are speaking something very dangerous. Allah Ta'ala has given the permission of marriage. Matna wa tulada will start off with 2, 3, or 4. And if you cannot uphold it because of the fulfilling of rights and insaf, then it's one. So Allah Ta'ala has given the permission. It cannot be that I don't want to hear it, I don't want to talk about this, it's just out of my life, it's over, there's no such thing as second marriage, finish. It doesn't end like that, Mawlana. Belief wise, Allah has permitted that. Now, then the next step will be, how do we give the allowance? How do we implement? What are the circumstances? That needs to be looked at. And in today's zamana, money, wealth, is also a very huge consideration. Because ordinarily, Mawlana, how many homes are breaking because the husband cannot support the home, that is one wife and his 2, 3 children, he cannot support there. Where is he going to talk about getting second marriage and things, Mawlana?
Mm-hmm. And so, Mawlana, in this this program that we have set up, the idea is to conscientize and to educate. And, you know, just looking at that WhatsApp message, I was wondering that, okay, men may be interested, but what about our ladies? What about our sisters? Is there much interest from their side?
Mawlana, know how this has started. He's the one day about sometimes last year, towards the end of last year, a few ladies phoned and they wanted to come and meet me and talk to me, ladies with regards to polygamy. So I thought, yes, it's one whole flood of complaints that's coming, and be ready for it. And that's how I said that, oh, very well, they can come and we can speak. And when they came, I came to know it was a group, a support group for those women that won that second marriage and that have gone through it, and that support women that have gone through it, and to help them and conscientize and tell the people that you can't fight Allah's law. Allah has allowed it. Now how do we go around it? How do we accommodate it? Under which circumstances do we allow it? Well, on the one side, yes, the women will have a complaint. Now we're not talking of this. These women were there to promote polygamy and speak about it. And there is a need for it. There are how many men, and the other side of the coin, where the man needs another woman and is going to zina, and he's got his secretary, and he's got his whatever other type of women that he has in his life, and he's doing that guna. And our society and community, you can have as many mistresses and girlfriends, but don't talk second marriage. How ajeeb is it? How absurd is it? I mean, the halal you mustn't talk about, the haram you can carry on doing. So it's a few angles that we need to really tackle and visit. And normally, if we speak in our society, amongst our people, polygamy, the moment they hear that, second wife, and ya Allah, it's like, are you talking about Qiyamah coming into our house?
Mm-hmm. So there's that stigma that is attached to second marriages. I remember, Mawlana, we had Mawlana Suleiman Rawat and myself quite a few years ago when we were doing the marriage program on a Saturday morning. We ran a series over a period of 9 weeks, and we had a number of guests, including Qari Noorbhai, and we spoke to Mawlana Muhammad Ali from Middleburg as well, who wrote the book on polygamy, and a number of other people as well who had polygamous marriages. And alhamdulillah, there was good response at that time. This was almost 10 years ago, that there wasn't much speak about it in the public arena, but alhamdulillah, barriers were broken, and people came to understand. Finally, there were certain people who came to us and said, please stop talking about your the discussion that you are having, and when are you going to stop the divorce rate in Lanesia has increased since you started your discussion. And they blamed it on our discussion that we had. So there would be those people as well. But the idea is not just to promote polygamy willy-nilly, or for anybody and everybody to get involved in polygamy, but the idea is to educate people on how, if they are intending, then how to do it responsibly.
Well, it's not the word, if this word is used that you are promoting, then surely it is wrongly interpreted. It needs to be fairly and circumstances need to be taken into consideration. Every person has a condition and has circumstances that are different to the next person. Like going to the hospital. Nobody must talk about going to hospitals, because whoever goes to hospital gets sick, and you are talking of heart attacks and all that. So just close up all hospitals, don't talk about hospitals. No. Don't talk about hospitals, because you are very healthy and you are running around and you're eating healthy diet and food. But what about those that are getting sick and that need to go to the hospital? Circumstances, some are very healthy, but they get a heart attack. Now what are you going to do? So you have to have that allowance of hospitals, and it is not a small chapter in the society. It's a huge, big chapter. There are many other reasons for which you have the hospital. Just like that, in the very, very same way, or there might be other examples that are similar to this, that there are reasons why that man has to get again married, another reason. what are the backgrounds, and if we take that into consideration, we'll see that Islam has a beautiful way out to solve so many problems. That's all, solve problems. While if somebody misuses something, there are how many people just to get the inheritance, wealth and money, they have been given medication and they've been ruled to be mad and put into hospitals. That madness was brought onto them so that they can get out of the way, so that money and inheritance can be caught hold of. So it's a fault of the hospital. It's the wrongdoers that did whatever wrong they did for the circumstances to be that the man went into hospital who was healthy and well. In the same way, there might be conditions and circumstances where the man who's married and had his wife for so many years, together they build up their home and they build up their business and they lived, and now when they are both 50 and 60 years old, he suddenly tells Kala, you need to sit down, I'm putting out a 20 and a 30 year old wife. Now it's unfair, and the way he's doing it, and it is something that there's going to be an objection to, and he puts old lady in some old age home and he carries on. There are many ugly stories to polygamy also, very, very ugly. But that doesn't mean that because somebody did ugly stories, or our men nowadays are doing it the wrong way, the whole story is wrong. No. Polygamy has got its place, and it has its way, and it is supposed to be done in a particular way. It will promote goodness, harmony, and peace in our society, Maulana.
Yes, that is anything that we need to do, in any major decision, anything that we need to do in our life has to be done responsibly. It all the factors have to be taken into consideration. All the affected parties need to be taken into consideration. Their minds and mindsets have to be made. You have to get buy-in from them as well. And then when you do it, there is happiness, there is an understanding, and whatever step you are going to be taken, it is taken in the positive light. It is similar to a person who wants to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That suddenly if you come to your wife one night and you say that I'm going away for 4 months, I'm going away for 1 year, and the next morning you leave, you haven't done any preparations of income for that time period, you haven't done any preparations of alternate arrangements that they require, somebody to take care of them. You don't do anything like that and you just leave without even making arrangements, then instead of loving the work of the deen, they are going to dislike the work of the deen. So we need to make sure that whatever we do it in a way that is going to lead to everybody understanding it properly and being positive about it.
Beautiful, Maulana. This example about going out in the great work of Jamaat and Tabligh. Ya Allah, what a great work. Ya Allah, how much goodness is there. But you're the person just suddenly, and then there are those that go out, and when they will come back, they demand the sitting room furniture must go out, we're going to go all onto the floor. Hare Allah, your own iman and strength of iman has elevated, and you have understood the work. Now you are coming here, and the wife and children have not been out or understood the work. You suddenly demanding, sitting on the floor and all that. It might be a bit too soon, too quick, too fast. Let it be introduced correctly. In the same way, this polygamy can be something that can completely destroy, and on the other side, it can bring about great peace, Maulana. It was an example that was given and that needs to be kept in mind. In the old Arab world, it used to be, if a man went to somebody's house to go and say he wants marriage, and it's the first daughter, then that father-in-law-to-be will tell this young man, all right, my daughter will be your one wife for a 1 year period. But by 1 year, you need to get married to a second wife, because my daughter will be cleaning house, cooking for you, giving you comfort, all that, giving you children, all that my daughter alone cannot do for you. Within 1 year, you get a second wife, then one day it will be my wife that is looking after you, one day it will be the other woman, and then if you get a third wife, all the more better, all the more nicer. And if you approach it this way, what a beautiful way to approach it. But then we look at it the other way, where we want to gobble up everything in life. We want just for ourselves, and the same with this man. We want him for ourselves. Nobody else must get a chance, and nobody must get a... And you yourself are going to slave and break your bone, break your head, and completely be the one that's all the time attending to this man. Why you need rest? You need, sisters and ladies, if you listen to me carefully, you'll say you will invite your husband home this evening, and you'll tell him, "Boy, let us look at a good wife." And one of the things that you will definitely look at, if you are 50 and 55, then you want your husband to get another wife, 50, 55 will be right. Now you want to go and pull out the 20-year-old and the 16-year-old? No, now there is a shaitan somewhere in the heart that is making you do something else. The intention is pleasure and sexual pleasure and things like that, then definitely it's going to be out of the question, Molana.
Mm-hmm. Our intention needs to be clear also. And yes, while a person may consider and say that, that to get married to a young woman is only for that intention, it all depends on what the circumstances and what the situation is as well, Mama.
That too is also true. At times you are giving that woman a better life who is going through real pain and difficulty, and you're settling her life down, then it's definitely not because you want to only do this for another reason, but to give her a comfortable home and her children a place to, like in our times that we are now in, Molana, where polygamy is looked at with a bad eye, and Allah has given you wealth-wise a good settlement, that man needs to take a second wife and settle another woman in his life so that he can make and give those children a better life. And one more area, especially if one brother passes away and he has children, then the other brother, if there isn't much difference of age, that brother can take his brother's wife. Who better will look after those children than this brother, Molana?
Mm-hmm.
It is encouraged, highly encouraged, that the brother takes the person, the brother, the young brother. Both are young. The one brother passes away, the other brother should take his wife and give her that shelter and the children, that guidance, that love that the brother would have given. And because of certain circumstances, accident or whatever, he has passed away, share that love.
Yes, it's all on the circumstances, on how the situation is. And then some people say that no, you want to keep the inheritance within the family. That's why you get married to your...
Ya Allah, money is where our eyes go very quickly, Molana.
Mm-hmm.
Money is where eyes go very quickly. We don't look at the comfort, the situation that we're giving to those children. We don't look at all those things. We will only go toward. But that is the reality of life, Molana. So every individual circumstances will be. Measured in a way that surrounds that person and his halat. Molana?
Yes. Molana, in this program, can you tell us more about the breakdown of the program? What will you be discussing and how the program schedule will be?
Molana, it starts at about, if I recall, somewhere around 11:30 in the morning at the Sabri Masjid. There will be workshops and discussion groups and this, all these different types of input by women that they are experiencing in polygamy. We are especially focusing on that. There will be a team of women and a team of experts that will handle that part in speaking to them. And sometimes it is, I know of one case, Molana, where the lady happily allowed her husband to get married, or so it seemed. And she even sent out a WhatsApp message to to ladies, near and dear ones, that it is a decision that the person is getting married. And after the nikah happened, suddenly her mind did not click, and she just opposed to the whole story. This is a current story that I'm talking about. And she sort of is rejecting the whole situation. Although she's a very broad-minded and intelligent lady, and normally she would guide people in circumstances like this. But I just can't understand what had gone wrong. But these are things that, like in these workshops now, they will sit together and talk about it. And Maulana, there are how many stories and articles that we read that women that were totally opposed to the one incident or story that I read very closely and that I'm recalling very quickly, where she was totally opposed to her husband taking a second marriage. In any case, he didn't. And then a few years later, suddenly her husband passed away. And here she was now being approached by another man, that why don't you marry me? And it depended on the man's first wife, whether she's going to allow her husband to be shared with this lady. And she's making dua, and under that condition, she wrote that story and that dua. And suddenly you see which side you were and which side you are, how circumstances, conditions, and situations have changed, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. So you'll be looking at all of that, inshallah.
Inshallah. And then after Zuhr Namaz, there will be a talk amongst men with regards to polygamy. And yes, not encouraging polygamy, just clarifying the situation, the masala of polygamy.
Okay. So that's quite interesting, alhamdulillah, shukr. This will all be taking place at?
Sabri Majima. Why can't you be here?
This weekend, inshallah, we are hosting an ijtima in Ermelo, inshallah.
Oh, right, well, we could have been there, and it would have been. But in Ermelo, is it the ijtima?
Yes, there's, alhamdulillah, this week there's regional ijtimas around the country.
Yeah.
So just for Saturday evening from Asar to Isha in many of the places.
In Lend is not this week, it's the next weekend.
Yes, Lend is next
and
week.
And then this weekend in Azadwal, there's a Khanka Jalsa or Istima, Islahi Jalsa, and people will be coming from all around wide to be at the Khanka Istima, and it's self-reformation related, Maulana.
Yes, alhamdulillah, gee, that Islahi Istima is taking place in Azadwal.
Inshallah, Allah ki barakah, and Allah make it easy, inshallah. Dua ki dakhas, Allah khair kare.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran to Malana Yahya Bamsap and shukran to our studio operators, Brother Muhammad Bilal in the starting, and now Brother Osama Basuni, and to you especially for listening to the program this morning. Malana Ibrahim Daya, my co-host, is still out for the week after his nikah last weekend, and we make dua that Allah give him barakah. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. From Junaid Jasad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.